I've got a hammer if we need to fix it. All righty. Psalm 133, 1, and I've used this passage of Scripture before, but we're going to look at it from a little different angle this morning. Psalm 133, 1 says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." The principle of unity is of great importance to the success of any ministry. Shepherds strive to have unity in their among because if there are fractures that break it up, they go off in directions to come to the glory of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings unity by letting all of our hearts be in tune with what God wants from this ministry. And the Holy Spirit is prepared to, it's an interesting sentence, it dissolves solids. And we use it to clean, we wash our hands, and we think we're getting all the dirt off our hands, and what we're doing is coating our hands with soap. In some cases. But water is able to dissolve contamination. And the Holy Spirit is able to dissolve contamination in a ministry if we let Him. In Titus 3, 5, and 6, it says, we read, "Not by works of righteousness which we have, according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration." That's the work of God. Doing of the Holy Ghost. We are told once we have experienced the new birth of Christ. And when we're born again, we become part of the body of Christ. We become a part of the family of God. You are saved. You have been born again. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, is the Holy Spirit is living in your and as such, He is ministering to you and letting you minister to others. Now, there should be a particular unity in Christ, not necessarily in family. We all know what brothers and sisters do in family, don't we? I heard somebody say the word fight. From time to time we do that. But that's not what's intended. No, God wants each of us who are part of His family, the family of God. And we will be looking at that tonight in some detail. I think you may see some interesting things tonight that may be opportunities that the Lord is opening up before some of you. But Amos 3:3 tells us, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And so we want a unity where we're all in agreement. So before we get into the message, let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we are here this morning to worship You. We are here this morning, Father, to please You. And we are here this morning to draw close to You. So, Father, with the power of Your Holy Spirit, minister to each of our hearts. Give us unity of spirit, unity of philosophy, unity of purpose. And use us to glorify yourself and accomplish your will in this place. And again, Father, we will praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, an important part of the family concept is bringing us all together for a common purpose. If someone within the family does harm to the family, you may leave the family for a while until they repent and seek forgiveness. We welcome them back in because they've always been a part of the family. Doesn't matter whether they are being segregated or not, they're still part of the family. When a person gets right with God, then they get integrated back into the family. And that's what we all want this morning. We all want to be part of the family. There is a point of tension. There sometimes, as with Asian families, there are those who do not want to be a part of the family. They do not want to go along with what the family wants. And they break off. There are other times when the rest of the family doesn't want to go along with what one individual might want. And so they are ostracized. And some of you have experienced that in your lives. You became a born-again Christian. And suddenly your whole life changed. Your heart was changed. You were changed. And in some cases, your family said, "We want nothing to do with you anymore." That's sad. But that is the way of the world. In a family, there should be an indication that there is a bond of love. I enjoy our greeting of one another. I enjoy folks as you come into church. I do like to hug. I know some of you like to hug. Some of you got good hugs. I'm missing them right now. But eventually this flu epidemic will pass, and once again we'll go back to manifesting our love for one another. No one likes rejection. And when one individual rejects another individual, sometimes the reaction is withdrawal, rejection. You know why? Because there are two kinds of criticism. There is a criticism that is tainted with malice, and the purpose for the criticism is to hurt. But sometimes another kind of criticism, it's called constructive criticism. That's what my wife uses on me. I don't like it. She doesn't like it when I use constructive criticism on her because it hurts our pride. It's probably correct. That's another hurt. And it's maybe even necessary. If any of us are involved in constructive criticism, go softly. Go gently, anticipating as to what the reaction might be. Say to someone that hurts them, even though it's intended to say, "I have the wrong voice inflection." Many times we do that to each other. We're saying something to help, something to correct. to edify, actually build up. But we say it the wrong way. And it causes an offense rather than causing something to happen to the person. So if you and I, any time that we are going to criticize, and we're going to say it's all going to be constructive criticism, okay? Nothing bad. If we will think about what we are saying, and then not say it, we won't have any problems. You know what we need to do? We need to do the very same thing that 1 John 4:18 tells us. It says, there is no fear of love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So there's the key. It's love. We are to love each other. We are to love one another. Love is absolutely necessary if a ministry or a church or any other body is going to that has to be the motivation. The church that has unity, which brings us the title of this message, Practicing Unity in the Church. It starts with the teachings of Jesus Christ. He was teaching his disciples because in the beginning of it, we find it recorded in John 15. So let's just turn over to John 15. Of John 15th chapter. Tells us, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye my love. Love. Even my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And that brings us to another question. How has Jesus loved us? Now remember that we're seeking to practice unity in the church. So how does love fit into that endeavor? Jesus long before you and I were born. Actually, before the world ever existed. Can you imagine that? Before Jesus made the world and he made the universe around it, he loved you. He had perfect knowledge. He had omniscience. He knew everything. He knew that one day you would live. He knew that even when you would live, even where you would live. And because of that, he loved you. In Ephesians 1:4, Paul, writing to the Ephesian church, said this to him, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's Ephesians 1:4. So this all started before we existed. God loved us. Wow. What a way to live. The love of God is uniform across all the annals of time. He has loved mankind. He loved his creation since the day that Adam and Eve were created. And he still loves everyone who's been born since then. And that love is not restricted geographically. He loves everybody everywhere. It's his will, it's his desire that everyone be saved because of his love. So, as a ministry, we get our unity by seeking to practice unity in the church. And we have to have an object of unity, and that object we studied about this morning is Jesus. I hope that everyone here this morning loves Jesus. Really loves him. And he said, if you love that we all are trying to keep his commandments, we're human, we're not perfect. We're gonna falter. But because Jesus loves us, he's willing to forgive. And if he's willing to forgive us, shouldn't we be willing to forgive others who maybe offend us with some of that criticism? If we're going to understand love and understand what it is that Jesus wants us to do, we need to look at the love chapter. That's Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. That's the love chapter. And so I just want to look at about four verses there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. Now, in the Old English, it uses the word charity for love. But the Greek word that we are going to be looking at every time we look at the word charity is the word agape. And agape is a self-sacrificing kind of love. It is a perfect love. It's the kind of love that God had for us and has for us. Same kind of love Jesus has for us. And in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, it says, charity or love. Now I'm going to translate it love. If you're looking at a King James, it'll say charity, but I'm going to translate it love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. It's not jealous. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not trying to gain something for its themselves. Person is not doing that. Is not puffed up, is not proud. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Won't do bad things to people. But rejoiceth in the truth. Man, I wish our government did that. Some of them are. And for the first time in many long time, we're beginning to see it. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now, when it says beareth all things, I had a friend that I would work from time to time many, many eons ago. And one day, we were moving concrete blocks. Now, concrete blocks weigh about 16 pounds. They're heavy, especially if they land on your toe. Now, I didn't get angry with him. A little disappointed, but I wasn't angry because he didn't intentionally hurt me. And you know, if we love our brothers and sisters, we are not going to intentionally hurt any of them. We're going to love them. And it says here that love endureth all things. Wow. That's sort of hard to take at times. How does a church practice unity? And the answer? It practices love. Okay? That's great. When the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts, the first thing he brings is what? And the next thing? Joy. Next thing? Peace. Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love is the first thing he brings. That's the real test as to whether or not Jesus Christ and God's Holy Spirit is living in our heart. If we don't love, he's not there. That's simple. If we don't love, he's not there. So we practice love as ministry or as a church. Now, how can we show one another? We can show one another by obedience to Jesus Christ. We're not clones of Jesus. We're not like him. Bobby taught us that this morning. We're human. Clone of Jesus. We can't be perfect. And we're not robots. We're not clones of each other. So we're going to, anytime you put two people opinions about things, when you put 30 people in a room, you got 30 opinions. Yep. And so we have to learn love. If we all like different things, I have noticed when we, many times there's a group of us that goes out to eat sometimes after services, and we have to decide where we're going and who wants to go here and who wants to go there. And then we draw straws and Becky tells us where we're going. But when we get to the restaurant, we don't all order the same thing. We have different tastes. We have different appetites. And any time that you're in a group of people, you're going to, God made us that way. Wouldn't it be boring if we all did the same thing all the time? It'd be horrible. We need to understand that we all do have different tastes when it comes to some things. But when it comes to the ministry here at Coastal Shores, as we are gathered here this morning, we are gathered here to worship Jesus Christ, to worship our Heavenly Father, to obey the Holy Spirit. There's unity in that. And there should be unity in that. I can give you an example of another unity that should exist, and at one time it did exist. Let's think for just a minute. We had the Boy Scouts here this morning. They brought up the American flag, Christian flag. And when I see that American flag, I see those red stripes. And those red stripes represent the blood of millions of men who defended what that flag stands for. I see the white stripes. They stand for the purity of how this was brought together. I see the stars, that represents the various states. Blue background, God's throne. So when I see that flag, I have respect for that. And there used to be respect for that flag. But there are those among this nation that have no respect for that. But you know what? You're supposed to love them. That's hard. Some people are very hard to love. But God does not give us an excuse. And so we're talking about unity with the church. And the one thing that should keep us unified is love people. We're many different people with many different interests, yet we're all united by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that He is the Son of God, that He was virgin born, that He lived a sinless life, that He was crucified upon the cross of Calvary, that He died there, shedding His blood for our sin. We believe He was buried. And 3 days later, He rose from the dead. And with Him, the Old Testament saints, who knew nothing about grace, rose with Him. You find it in Matthew 27, 52. We'll not go there. We'll do that another time. The Apostle Paul wrote the Ephesian church concerning their unity, and he gave them a formula for maintaining that unity. And I'd like to share that with you. We're out of time this morning, so we won't get to the end of this, but I'll see what I can do with it. We won't have leftovers next Sunday, okay? But let me share with you what Paul wrote the Ephesian church about unity, so that we can keep that in mind, and that's what we will close with. It says, I therefore, it's Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. God called every one of us. He called us to do something, not to warm a chair. But he goes on in verse 2, and he says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That's the key for unity. If we let that be what we are. We are so glad to be a church that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. I am so grateful for each one of you, and it is our desire to see this church grow. And we are going to close in just a moment with an invitation hymn. The invitation hymn is Trusting Jesus. But before we do that, I'd like to ask Julius and Julian if you would come up here, please. We had a chance to meet this week and talk, and they want to become a part of our church. They have both believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but they have never been baptized. And so that is something that we will do. It's part of our bylaws. But he asked me a question. He said, can you help me with a Bible study on baptism so that I understand what it is? And so I've agreed to do that. So we are going to treat them as brothers and sisters in Christ, because they are. We will treat them as members, but they will not be official members until they have been baptized. That may take a little while of Bible study. But I want you to know what their hearts are. And so as we sing our closing hymn of invitation, after we are done, come up and greet them. We are so glad that they have come to our church. They have come here from Haiti. And so be praying for them. They have two fine boys that are back right now in church. And they are fine boys. Those of you who have worked with them know that. So, Julius and Julian. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, very good. Let's go ahead and sing our closing hymn. Let's all stand together. No, wrong song, isn't it? Now, Jan, the words are wrong. It's not your fault. The words were evidently put together wrong. Yes, let's say you've got it. You've got it, Helen. Let's all sing "Jesus It Loves Me," and then let's greet our new family members. All right. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Bobby, would you close in prayer for us? And while you're doing that, ask the blessing for the meal across the way. Thank you, brother, for coming forward. Okay, and Julian, appreciate it so much, sister. Why don't you stay right here? They're going to come up and greet you. Hey, Joe? Good.